Beneficiary families, low-income working families, will get more money from today's budget, up to $25 a week as part of a child hardship package, which has dominated Bill English's speech in the House, certainly as far as the commentators are concerned. It's the first increase, it's being touted as the first increase in core benefits since 1972. It's estimated to affect 110,000 families. Bernard Hickey, as I said, on this shortly. Child care subsidies for lower income families will also be increased from $4 an hour to $5 an hour for preschool or after school care for up to 50 hours a week. But work tests will be tightened for sole parents. They and the partners of other beneficiaries will be expected to be work ready when the youngest child turns 3 instead of the child turning 5 as at present. I could go through the budget, but that's been the most noticed aspect of it. Your reaction to what Bill English read out today?
I think we're going to want to read the fine print on most of that. So up to $25, that's a red flag right there. And in terms of accommodation supplement and so on, like if the basic basic benefit goes up, the accommodation supplement often drops. So we'll want to see whether that $25 actually amounts to anything or whether it gets cancelled out.
Yeah, two things stand out to me on that is the stepping, the progressive kind of areas of that. In this sense that, for example, working families with a combined household income of $36,000 could expect a $12 per week increase. Now, if this is the answer to the government's housing problem and the problem for those that are in renting or even homeless families, then it's not going to go far. And I think, you know, it's not about throwing money at the problem. It's about a significant realignment on how these problems actually develop in the first place. And on that, I found the budget was lacking.
Okay. Bernard Hickey joining us from Hive News Online and interest.co.nz. Good afternoon, Bernard.
Good afternoon.
Well, nevertheless, $790 million in this child hardship package. And people said there wouldn't be much in it on tackling poverty. This has been, for some, a surprising announcement.
Yeah, I think the actual increase in benefits and the Working for Families payments, the simple handing over of cash, if you like, was something the government has downplayed in the past. Although it was interesting to hear Bill English say in the lock-up news conference that the most effective way to help people who are suffering hardship in particular families is simply to give them money, and this was the most effective way to do it. However, it doesn't kick in until April the 1st next year, and it's only $200 million. Now, doesn't for you and me, that's a lot of money, $200 million. But actually, if you just look at other parts of the budget, for example, and no one else will talk about this, the increase in New Zealand superannuation payments just this year alone will be over $500 million. So, and you've got to remember that earlier this year, the benefits did increase in line with inflation, but because inflation was so low, it was only 0.5%, whereas New Zealand superannuation and equal wages are growing at more than 2%. So the government here is trying to narrow the gap between beneficiaries' incomes and the incomes of people on average wages and, of course, those people on New Zealand superannuation, which is a type of super benefit, and this is trying to address that. So there was a bit of a surprise there.
That significant realignment that Selwyn calls for, I mean, has there been any real articulation of what that would be? I might ask all of you, really, in the last few years, from where has the cerebral input on that come from? And what are the solutions?
Yeah, one of the areas that I thought was begging was looking at a blue sky approach to this. For example, I think the budget's all about symbols and signals, and taking the kickstart out of the KiwiSaver area is a signal
to
me.
That, yeah.
Yeah, and if you looked at that as an opportunity to increase a fund to make New Zealand less reliant on foreign capital, foreign investment, foreign lenders, that may have a more positive effect on the current account. Well, then there's an opportunity missed if that signal is how I'm reading it here, meaning that I think some of the ideas of David Parker leading up to the last election, where you would have variable adjustments to your KiwiSaver, compulsory KiwiSaver contributions, and then that fund being used for regional development, arguably, or contested for such things, seem to me to be looking at things outside of the square, things that may work and less reliant on the mortgage holder when the economy starts heating. So it's that kind of thing I was looking for in this budget, considering the problems that the country is developing in the housing market, etc.
Nevertheless, Bernard, the extra money, I mean, how do you think that will go down in the heartland, as it were, and how will the public receive this today?
Yeah, it was a surprise, the extra money for beneficiaries. It's not what you often hear about from a centre-right government. However, they have wrapped it up with the stick, if you like, along with the carrot of saying you must work for longer or be available for work for longer. The other interesting point is the removal of the KiwiSaver kickstart and also this increase in the levy for tourists going overseas. It's going to cost more than $20 a trip now if you go out and back for your winter holiday, and that's $100 million. And it's interesting, I found that the surplus forecast for next year is $176 million, but the KiwiSaver kickstart, that was going to cost $175 million. So if they hadn't gotten rid of the KiwiSaver kickstart, we would have been looking at a budget surplus in 2015-16 of $1 million.
Wow. I noticed actually vis-a-vis what you were saying, Selwyn, John Armstrong on the Herald Bernard says, taking away the $1,000 kickstart sends a terrible message and undermining the need for New Zealanders to put their money into productive investments instead of seeking easy returns in the property market. It was flagged a while back, though, the idea that they could do this, wasn't it? That wasn't a total surprise.
No, I haven't seen in recent times much of a government indication they were going to get rid of the full kickstart. We still have the $521 a year of contributions from the government, and you'd have to say that's now in danger if we have problems getting towards a surplus next year. But this wasn't talked about before the election, and for a government that's pretty cautious about being an under-deliverer and an over-promiser, this is a bit of a surprise, I think, and shows how much pressure they were under to get to that surplus next year.
To what extent will they be judged for the lack of a surplus? $176 million isn't much. And, of course, these projections have turned out in the past to be quite arbitrary, haven't they?
Yeah, and with the current track record of the last couple of years, you'd have to say that $176 million surplus is already in doubt, given the very low inflation we've got and the hit we're about to take from the lower dairy incomes. But the question of, does the public really care about a budget surplus? Well, you've got to remember, since 2011, this has been the flagship target of the government. They've used it as their reason not to give money to people, a reason to cut spending in various places, and to say this is the thing that we are most proud of that shows the mettle of our government. And we actually missed that target, and we could miss it 2 years in a row. So there's a political aspect to it. However, if we don't get to surplus any time in the next couple of years, it will only really matter if you start to see the economy slow down and people starting to lose jobs and house prices falling and potentially interest rates increasing, although that's pretty unlikely. So, the question is, do the voters care? And you'd have to say at the moment they don't seem to be caring.
So there is the obvious need to get money in, isn't there? And that new international departure and arrival levy, this was something the Prime Minister had actually been again when it was introduced overseas. It'll raise $100 million a year, $16 to the cost of flying to New Zealand and $6 as you depart. You weren't expecting that, Bernard?
No. I mean, this really was something that they've pulled out of the hat to make sure they get to that surplus. And it's a fee that will apply to anyone who travels overseas. So that's a good chunk of people. We're talking a couple of million trips here a year that go back and forth involving New Zealanders. Of course, it will also ping people coming here from overseas. But it's, some have already called it a tax. And for a government which is pretty keen to signal ahead of elections if they're going to bring in a tax or cut a tax or do something, this is something we genuinely weren't expecting, and shows again the pressure they're under to get to that surplus.
Let me put to all of you what Bill English said. The increases to poorer households are balanced to not undermine the incentive to work while addressing our concern about children whose families' resources have been falling behind other households. So have they struck the right balance?
When you're talking about sending people back to work when their children are 3 years old, you're assuming that parenting is not work in that formulation, right? That would be one thing that I would immediately pop up and object to.
So 3 years is too young?
Well, it depends on the child, you know. Mm. I mean, we have a law about when you're meant to be at school, but for each family, the situation will be different. But beyond that, they're asking people to work 20 hours now instead of 15. So you put your child into 20 hours of childcare, but you'll need more than 20 hours of childcare in order to get to a job and work 20 hours. Mm. So you're looking at maybe 30 hours of childcare for that child per week. So they're effectively saying if you're on a benefit, your child must be in probably, you know, 25 to 30 hours of childcare a week. And they can't come out and say that, but that's the impact of the policy.
All right, so not the right balance for you, Selwyn.
Yeah, I think, you know, that transition to work kind of problem has been there for, decades. Peter McArdle, back in 1996 to 90-something or other, while he was the minister in this area, was working hard on the transition to employment type ideas. It's still a very, very difficult one for the governments to get right. I think what I was saying before, budgets are about signals. I think some of the signals are in the right area. I think some of the commitments are honouring some of the rhetoric that was there. It's a matter of proportions and priorities and how it's distributed. And once again, I think it gets back to some of the fundamental problems that are underlying New Zealand's domestic economy that are being shown in symptomatic terms for families, meaning families in hardship. And that is an opportunity, I think, that John Key and Bill English have missed on this.
Bernard, we're concentrating on just a few aspects of the budget necessarily, more coverage on it on Checkpoint. But you were in the lock-up today. What's your overall view of what you heard today?
I think it did hit the right notes for the government on child poverty, in that it showed that they did a bit more than some people were expecting. Just a couple of days ago, people were saying that this was going to break a promise. But $25 a week extra for all beneficiaries, the first increase in benefits after adjusting for inflation since 1972. That's quite a flag to put on the hill, if you like. However, I still think there's some doubts about that surplus and reaching that surplus next year, given that you've only got $176 million to play with. And you'd have to say that over the next 2 years, the government is going to come under increasing pressure to think about dropping this plan for tax cuts in 2017. Mm. They've left in place their $2.5 billion allowance for those tax cuts just before the 2017 election. And given the pressure that's on with low inflation and the potential for a bit of a slowdown in the economy, you'd have to say it's going to be a tough thing for them to sell come 2017 that they can afford tax cuts for everyone.
Bernard Hickey, thank you, from Hive News Online on today's budget.